Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It was a dramatic week on Capitol Hill. Attorney General William Barr frustrated Democrats by missing his scheduled appearance yesterday before the House Judiciary Committee to talk about his handling of the Mueller report. But he did show up to a contentious hearing before a Senate committee on Wednesday. And we're going to take a second here to hear some key moments from that meeting. Here's Democrat Kamala Harris, who is a former prosecutor and who's also running for president in 2020.
Has the president or anyone at the White House ever asked or suggested that you open an investigation of anyone? Yes or no, please, sir.
The president or anybody else.
Seems you would remember something like that and be able to tell us.
Yeah, but I'm trying to grapple with the word suggest. I mean, there have been discussions of matters out there that they have not asked me to open an investigation. But
perhaps they've suggested.
I don't know. I wouldn't say suggest.
Hinted?
I don't know.
Inferred? You don't know. Okay. In your March 24th summary, you wrote that, quote, after reviewing the special counsel's final report.
But I will say that no one.
Sir, I'm asking a question. In your March 24th summary, you wrote that, quote, after reviewing the special counsel's final report, Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein and I have concluded that the evidence is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense. Now, the special counsel's investigation produced a great deal of evidence. I'm led to believe it included witnesses' notes and emails, witnesses' congressional testimony, witnesses' interviews, which were summarized in the FBI 302 forms, former FBI Director Comey's memos, and the president's public statements. My question is, in reaching your conclusion, did you personally review all of the underlying evidence?
No, we took and accepted
Mr. Rosenstein?
No, we accepted the statements in the report as the factual record. We did not go underneath it to see whether or not they were accurate. We accepted it as accurate and made our.
So you accepted the report as the evidence?
Yes.
You did not question or look at the underlying evidence that supports the conclusions in the report?
No.
Did Mr. Rosenstein review the evidence that underlines and supports the conclusions in the report, to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge. We accepted the statements in the report.
Did
and
anyone
the characterization
in your,
of the evidence is true.
Did anyone in your executive office review the evidence supporting the report?
No.
Republican Ted Cruz defended Barr's handling of the Mueller report and asked why the investigation began in the first place.
In your judgment, was the Mueller report thorough?
Yes.
Did they expend enormous time, energy, and resources investigating and producing that report?
Yes.
And the Mueller report concluded flat out on the question of Russian collusion, the evidence did not support criminal charges.
That's right.
And indeed, the Mueller report, if I have these stats right, was compiled by 19 lawyers who were on the team, approximately 40 FBI agents, intelligence analysts, forensic accountants, and professional staff. The special counsel issued more than 2,800 subpoenas, nearly 500 search warrants, more than 230 orders for communication records, almost 50 orders authorizing the use of pen registers, 13 requests to foreign government for evidence, and interviewed approximately 500 witnesses. Is that correct?
That's right.
So we have investigated over and over and over again, and the substance of the accusations that have been leveled at the president for 2.5 years have magically disappeared. Instead, the complaint is the 19 pages that we can all read that is entirely public could have been released a few weeks earlier. Oh, the calamity. Let me shift to a different topic, a topic that has been addressed already quite a bit. I believe the Department of Justice under the Obama administration was profoundly politicized and was weaponized to go after political opponents of the president. If that is the case, would you agree that politicizing the Department of Justice and weaponizing it to go after your political opponents is an abuse of power?
I think it's an abuse of power regardless of who does it.
And Republican Ben Sasse asked Barr if campaigns know what's legal when it comes to information offered by foreign entities.
You're the chief law enforcement officer of the United States government, and I think it would be helpful for us to have a shared understanding as we head toward the 2020 election of what campaign operatives should well understand is beyond the pale. So if the Chinese government decides to start hacking into 2020 campaigns, I would hope there's clarity from the Department of Justice about whether or not Democratic campaign, presidential campaigns and whether or not the Trump re-election campaign are allowed to say, hey, we're interested in this hacked material going forward. I think we need to have clarity about a question like that. And I think as somebody who sits not just on judiciary, but on the Intelligence Committee, I think there are a bunch of counterintelligence investigations happening right now in the United States where campaigns don't really understand what the laws are. And I think we need a lot more clarity about it. Because I'm nearly at time, let me at least give it to you as a this version as a precise question. Under the Presidential Transitions Act, once you have a Democratic nominee for president and a Republican nominee for president, one of the things that we do is we start to brief them on, in the event that you would become the president-elect, you will need to know where we are in different national security issues. Should we be adding to the Presidential Transition Act counterintelligence briefings for campaigns as they become the nominee in a much more detailed way than the response you had about the Bureau's efforts when Senator Cornyn asked if defensive briefings were given? Should we, the Congress, be thinking very intentionally about authorizing the ability of the Bureau and in a shared, broader IC context, but with the Bureau or Homeland Security probably being the interface entity, should nominees for the highest office in the land heading into 2020 be receiving regular counterintelligence briefings on the fact that foreign intelligence services are going to surround people that are likely going to be people of influence and principal officers of the United States government should they win?
Absolutely. I think the danger from countries like China, Russia, and so forth is far more insidious than it has been in the past because of non-traditional collectors that they have operating in the United States. And I think most people are unaware of how pervasive it is and how and what the risk level is. And I think it actually should go far beyond even campaigns. More people involved in government have to be educated on this.
Senator Chris Coons is a Democrat. He pressed Barr further on this issue.
The reason we had this investigation in the first place was George Papadopoulos was told the Russians had dirt on Hillary Clinton. The Russians had a direct contact to Donald Trump Jr. and offered to give dirt about his father's opponent. Donald Trump Jr. said, "I love it," and invited the campaign chairman and president's son-in-law to the campaign chairman to a meeting with the Russians to get it.
Who did you say offered it?
In the second instance, it was Russians made an offer to Donald Trump. I have 30 seconds.
Okay.
Let me get to a question, if I could. Going forward, what if a foreign adversary, let's now say North Korea, offers a presidential candidate dirt on a competitor in 2020? Do you agree with me the campaign should immediately contact the FBI? If a
foreign intelligence service,
a representative of a foreign government,
yes,
says, "We have dirt on your opponent,"
yes,
should they say, "I love it, let's meet,"
if
or should they contact the FBI?
If a foreign intelligence service does, yes.
Okay, here's my core concern. The president ordered the White House counsel to have special counsel Mueller fired. He fabricated evidence to cover it up. And whether or not you could make a criminal charge of this, it is unacceptable. And everyone who said we didn't have to worry about President Trump firing the special counsel was flat out wrong. The Russians offered the Trump campaign dirt on Hillary Clinton, and the Trump campaign never reported that to the FBI. Instead, they tried to conceal the meeting and misled the American people. And I think we have to work on a bipartisan basis going forward to protect our elections from a repeat of this, and we need your leadership and the president's. You somehow concluded the president didn't obstruct justice, and you announced that you had cleared the president 25 days before the public could read the Mueller report for themselves. I think it's no wonder Special Counsel Mueller thought your four-page letter created public confusion about critical aspects of the results of the investigation and that that threatened to undermine the central purpose for which he was appointed. I think we need to hear from Special Counsel Mueller. I think we need to hear from Don McGahn. And I think we need to review how we are going to handle going forward the fact that you are supervising 12 ongoing cases that came out of the Mueller investigation and have been referred.
Some key moments from Attorney General William Barr's testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee earlier this week.